You will open your Bibles to John chapter 14. This morning we finish up our I Am series on the I Am statements of Jesus. John chapter 14 verses 1 through 7. This is Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we turn to your words in these moments. Because we do want to know you and see you. And so we ask that your Spirit would move freely in our hearts and in this place. Would you help us, O God, to hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's too good to be true. We've all said it before. You know what it means. We say, we really believe we're going to have an Indian summer this year. October will be all sunshine, 70 degrees. You know better. That's too good to be true. I think I might go to my mailbox this week and find a check for $1,000. That would be great. But that just doesn't happen. I know that that is probably too good to be true. And you can surprise me if you would like. I can say that I'll come home from church today and I will find my dog Charlie and my new kitten, who's a total terror, laying together in peace. Best friends after all. Up until now, they've only barely avoided killing each other. So the lion and the lamb in my house is not happening. I know that that would probably be too good to be true. Here's one for us. You ready for this one? I will launch a brand new, exciting, in-depth, engaging study on the same night as a Seahawks game. And it won't matter because folks will be so overwhelmed by the amazing opportunity to learn all the amazing ways that this Bible came to be that the room will be packed and Russell Wilson will just wait for a few hours. No big deal. I found out that thought was too good to be true. These things that we would really, really love to see come to fruition. But experience tells us they're unlikely. We say that they are too good to be true. You know, when people are dying, they often say some stuff that really seems too good to be true. The doctor says that the cancer has spread and it's really only a matter of months. And they say, oh, I'll beat this. And we want to hope the same thing with them. But deep in our hearts, we kind of know healing seems too good to be true. And then there are things that people of faith say, that those on the outside have to think are simply too good to be true. A wife lays her husband to rest and whispers over the casket, I'll see you soon. This idea that these relationships, that this life continues, too good to be true, they say. In John 14, Jesus knows that his death is near. And he is saying everything that he feels he needs to say before he leaves his disciples behind for good. And Jesus knows that what he's going to say is going to sound too good to be true. I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and where I'm going, you can come too. And you know where to find me. Thankful for Thomas, he speaks up what they all wanted to say. Lord, no, we don't. How are we supposed to know the way? This place that you say you're preparing for us, where you say we're going to live forever with our God. Jesus, that sounds too good to be true. Before I throw my life into that, how can we know that it's real? And Jesus' response, I am the way and the truth and the life. You get to the Father through me. Follow me, Jesus says, and you will see that it's not too good to be true. It's just really good and really true. I want to focus this morning mostly on that middle promise, that I am the truth. Because if you've been here for this series, we've already touched on the way. We've already touched on the life and other I am messages. I want to give just a couple more words to both of those before we zoom in really on that word, I am the truth. Jesus says, I am the way. The last couple weeks for me have been like every other couple weeks in my life in ministry. Through the course of any given day, God brings to my heart different folks for different reasons. But there's always some deep in my heart that I feel like I just haven't really seen in some time. And folks who at one point I knew were visibly growing with Jesus. And it seems for one reason or another, things have just kind of faded away. And usually it's just that life happens. And we all know what that's like when life just happens. And we talk and they say, you know, I'm just pulled in so many different directions. And over time, they just kind of step out of stuff, not even really meaning to do so. But this one thing, I tell you guys, it never fails. When I reach out to the folks that God puts on my heart, who I haven't seen weeks, months, years, over and over in our conversation, we begin to talk about the things that are overwhelming and that are keeping folks away. But I tell you, almost every single time that person ends up saying to me in one way or another, you know, Pastor Jamie, I just feel so lost. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, that is awkward. She's talking about me in front of the whole church. No, I tell you guys, listen, this literally happens in my life in some version with some of you every single week for 4 years now. Folks who have been distant saying in some way, I just feel lost. When Jesus says he's the way, what he's saying is he is our guide. The one who's always one step in front of us, leading us into the arms of our Father. If you're wanting to go somewhere that you've never gone, into uncharted territory, and you asked someone how to get there, what would be the most helpful thing for them to do for you? Yeah. They could just start spewing off all the directions for you at once. They could say, oh, that's easy. Go north for 16 miles. Who even knows what north is? I don't. And then turn on Country Road 1435 and stay on that for, oh, 26 miles. And then you're going to cross this railroad track. And then look to your right. And when you see this little yellow house on the left, well, then turn there and follow that for 30-something more miles. What would you say in the middle of this tirade? You'd say, hold up, hold up. let me write this down, or could I have your phone number? And so when I get lost, I might could get the rest of these directions. What would be easiest? If this person says, I know that route like the back of my hand. Been there a gazillion times. And guess what? I'm free today. Hop in your car and I'll hop in mine. Follow me and I will show you the way. I will take you there. You see, that's the kind of guide we need when we're charting an uncharted territory. Someone who's been down that very road 1,000 times and has all the time and all the care in the world to help us get there too. My last couple weeks in Egypt, I made a little excursion pilgrimage up to Mount Sinai. And if you're going to climb Mount Sinai, what you do is you get there in the middle of the night, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And you find a Bedouin guide. They're around. These are folks who have lived in the Sinai Peninsula for generations and generations. They know it like the back of their hand. And in the pitch dark, there's no cities anywhere in sight. It is pitch dark. You find one of these guides, and they carry a little lantern, and they say, follow me. And one step at a time, for the next 4 hours in the dark, you follow this guide who does this every single day up that mountain until you get to the top and can wait for the sun to rise. When Jesus says, I am the way, he's saying that he is that kind of guide between us and our Father. He's been with his Father, like a lot, like since before there was even time, and he knows the way, and he is eager to show us that way if we will just stay close and walk just one step at a time right there with him. You see, no one gets baptized right here and then comes out of those waters and finds me in this back room, and I give them this little secret envelope and they open it up and I say, check it out. This is instructions for everything that's going to come to you from this day on. Here you have, now that you're baptized, the secret to how to navigate through everything. You see, Jesus is not the way in that way. He doesn't give us all the wisdom that we're going to need for all life throws at us in just one big dose up front. Jesus isn't the gas station attendant who we pop in and ask for directions and then say thanks and then head off on our journey, never to see them again. No, when Jesus says, I am the way, he says, I am the guide who wants to journey with you. With that little lantern in the dark. I'm the one who will get you to God one step at a time. When life gets totally overwhelming and so very confusing. Of all things, my friends, don't let this thing where we join together to lean into the Jesus way be the first thing that gets cut off the to-do list. Because when we have no idea what to do, one thing we can do is choose to stay close to Jesus because he knows the way. And it is really hard to stay close to him when we don't come to worship him, to hear his word, sing his songs together. When we cut this out, I tell you from experience, give it a few days, maybe a month tops, and you will say it too. I just feel lost. Jesus is the way. We walk in that way, one step at a time, staying close to our guide. any of my friends feeling just a little bit lost this morning. Yeah, too many decisions to make. Way too many things to sort out. No clear idea of how in the world you're going to see this season through. Draw close to your guide, my friends. Jesus, the way. Today, if you hear nothing else, he is inviting you to walk close to him again. Step by step, he will take you to the Father. Guaranteed. Jesus says, I am the life. Now, we've already said plenty about this, especially last week with the Good Shepherd. He said, I've come to give you life, an abundant life at that. So just one more quick point on I am the life. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, I am a lifestyle. But rather, he says, I am the life. And you know, I think we're mostly all Americans in here. And as Americans, we are masters at compartmentalization. Say that 3 times fast. Most of us have to function every day in all kinds of different roles. There's that person that we are at work, the person we are at home, the person we are when we're out with our buddies, the person we are at church, the person we are when no one's looking, the person we are when we're sitting in traffic. And you see, Jesus doesn't say, I'm just one more lifestyle to add to all these other lifestyles you've got. You're a scout mom, you're a businessman, you're a community leader, you're a helpful neighbor. Oh, and you're also a follower of Jesus. No, he says, I am the life. That is Jesus saying that he is the very one who gives substance to every part of our lives. And so what that means is who he is in us should and must overflow into all of our different lifestyles. Our work, our home, our hobbies, they should never be separated from our devotion to Jesus Christ. Because he's not a lifestyle. He is the life. That means that our journey with Jesus is never and ever so often a few times a week when I think about it sort of thing. But it is everything. And so I ask this morning, is Jesus the life for you?
Amen.
Or just one of our many lifestyles? A good way to know is to honestly ask, would my coworkers and my neighbors and my buddies on Friday nights and my church friends all describe my character and my heart and my interest the same way? Do the folks I run with out there know of the love for Jesus that I show in here? Jesus says, I am the life. Not one way of doing some part of your life. The life. All of it. Everything. Is Jesus your way? Is Jesus your life? All of it. Everything. And that brings us to the center, the truth. What is truth? These days, this question seems like it's up for grabs, perhaps more than ever before. There's a movement among us in our society that gives everyone equal opportunity to name truth. You can have your truth. I can have my truth. No one can tell us that our truth is not true. And I get the point of the movement. It's to validate people's experiences and their stories and to say what happened to you matters and you've got a voice and that's good. But when we start to call everything truth and we say everyone is entitled to their own truth, then can it be true that everything can be truth? Are you like, what in the world? Are you following me? And if everything's true, then is nothing really true? Because the very essence of truth is that it is that which stands apart as real, that lines up as fact, that presents itself as authentic, when all that's false and all that's fake fades away. Can there be truth? And how do we know truth when we see it? How do we know it? Lots of ways. Lots of ways. If I tell you this morning, I've got a penny in my pocket. I don't even have a pocket. But if I did, and I said, I've got a penny in my pocket, and I pull out that penny from my pocket, then you will know that I was telling the truth. If a president says that he or she will cut taxes, and he or she then cuts taxes, we will agree that he or she told, perhaps tells, the truth. We have way more tools for finding truth than just playing the wait and see kind of game. You see, we hear facts from others, and we're always, all of us, without even knowing it, are instantly considering what they are saying and is it true. We're considering if their experiences match ours. They say that they're late to our meeting because they got stuck in Belfair traffic at 5 p.m. We've been there. We've experienced that. We assume what they say is true. My friends, Abigail and Mamie, they got baptized last week. And if you missed it, you can still know that it's true by asking the 100 folks who saw it and were here. If you don't believe all of them, you can see their certificates. If you don't believe that, you can check out the pictures on Facebook. Ideally, you will see in them a life that's being changed by Jesus. You see, we are always utilizing all kinds of tools around us to determine what's true. Does it match up with what we already know to be true? Do others see it that way too? Or am I the only one in the world? Questionable. Is the information I'm hearing coming from a trustworthy source? Does it make rational sense? So on and so forth. You see, by the time Jesus says, I am the truth, he has already spoken to his disciples about truth countless times. When you're bored this afternoon because Seahawks have already played this week, go onto Google and put up the truly I say to you sayings in the Gospels and get the full list of how many times Jesus says, truly, truly, I say this to you. By the time he says, I go and prepare a place for you. By the time he says, I will come back and I will bring you to the Father with me. Jesus has already shown that he is trustworthy and that what he says is true. If we just pick up John 14 by itself without hearing Jesus out on all that he has already said, our tendency would be like everybody else, and that would be to hear these words, there's a place for me in some place I can't see with God, alive forever and ever. That's nice, Jesus. But that's simply too good to be true. If nothing else, we can't know anything about what happens on the other side of life, on this side of life. A place for us with God? There's no way for us to know if that's real. Definitely can't stake our lives in it. Sounds good, Jesus, but too good to be true. And that might be, except this isn't Jesus's first time to say what's true. All throughout John, when Jesus speaks, he starts so many sentences with truly, I say to you. Jesus unapologetically claims to know what's true. And whenever he says, truly I say to you, he's doing a lot of things. One thing is he's often revealing to us what is inside of us. In John 4, remember how the woman at the well ends the conversation? I found the person who knows everything I've ever done. The one who knows the truth about what's inside of me. In John 6:26, the crowds come looking for Jesus, and Jesus tells them, "Truly, I tell you, you've only come to see me because you got your fill of loaves and you're hungry again." Jesus shows them that he knows the truth of their motivations. And as much as they might want to, they can't deny that he is right. In John 6:52, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat of me, you have no life in you." And they knew that he knew. He knew how all of their strivings up until this point had just left them so empty. And he named what they had sensed, but never had the words to say. In John 8:34, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you all, you are slaves of sin." And they knew what he spoke was true. And we do too. They knew full well how we just can't not do the things that we just don't want to do. How sometimes we just can't make ourselves stop those things that keep our hearts and God's heart apart. And Jesus says, "Truly, I know what's inside of you." In John 14:12, he says, "Truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and even greater ones at that." And we hear this, and we know deep within us that it's true. Because there have been moments that we have partnered with Jesus, and we have been blown away by our potential to stir up life around us. And more than that, if we're honest, we know that deep down most days, we go to bed at night, something within us tells us that we were capable of so much more. This Jesus revealing what's really in us, what he says about us, we know he speaks what is true. Jesus goes on, he also speaks the truth about what's around us. In John 3:3, he says, "Truly I say to you, unless one's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And hearing it, we know it's true. Those who have found life in Jesus, you know those blank stares you get when you tell folks that you're spending your vacation days at youth camp. They're like, "What? Who does that?" When you tell them you can't go out on a hike this morning because you're giving your Sunday sunny fall day to worship. What? Your hard-earned money to God's work. They don't get it. And we can't make them see. We know that Jesus is speaking truth here. That apart from life with him, this kingdom of God stuff just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But walking with Jesus, we see that kingdom sneaking in everywhere, do we not? And we want nothing more than to be a part of it. Jesus revealed that truth. John 6:32, Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who fed you in the wilderness. That bread came from God." And we hear that and we know that he's right. We know. All the ways that we see that our needs are met, all the amazing things that we see people do, we know that it can't be added up to just natural talent. And that it's never just mere coincidence that we're able to pay our bills again this month. It's all God caring for us, pouring his gifts out for us. Jesus named the truth that is all around us. And when he said it, we saw it and we knew it was true. You see, long before John 14, Jesus has been building up a heck of a lot of credibility. What he says lines up with what we know is in us and what we see happening around us. The people in your life who you know, when they speak, they're telling you the truth. You believe them because you've got this trustworthy track record from them. From speaking the truth about what's in us and what's around us. Jesus then opens the door to speak the truth about what's ahead of us. Those things that our eyes have not yet seen. He helps us see the truth about what's right here so we can hope with him and what's to come right up there. And here's what he says about what's ahead. John 5:24. Truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 8:51. Truly, I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. John 16:20. Truly, I tell you, your pain will turn into joy. John 16:23. Truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus, how do you have a right to make these promises that get our hopes up that we can't see? Don't forget, this is the same Jesus who told Peter that he would deny him 3 times. Peter said, no way is that what lies ahead of me. And on the 3rd denial, Peter remembered. Jesus spoke the truth about what was ahead. This is the same Jesus who told whoever would listen countless times, I'm gonna be killed. And buried and raised again. Peter said, no way, we won't let that happen. Jesus spoke what was still to come. And they saw it happen just as he said. This is the same Jesus who told his people that God was going to send them a helper, that they would not be orphans without their God. And you know what happened just after Jesus ascended and went back to heaven? What happened? God sent them a helper, just as Jesus had said. He always told the truth about what was ahead. The same one who told them what would happen. And time again, they saw it happen. Is the same one who says truly, believe in me, and eternal life is yours. Truly, your pain will turn to joy. Truly, through me, God will hear you when you call. Truly, I go to prepare a place for you. And truly, I will come and get you. And truly, you will be with me. And you will know your Father forever and ever. Truly, he says, a place for us. Where we will be with our Jesus, where we will know our God. Is it just too good to be true? That's what they thought about everything else he was saying. Until they looked upon that empty tomb and realized this is what he said would happen. It is true. All of it true. Everything he said. About who we are and what this world's about and who God is and what God's got for us. All of it is true. Tell me, my friends, has Jesus failed to be true to you in any of his promises yet? I am the way and the truth and the life. You get to the Father through me. You can trust these words too. Walk with him, one step at a time. Live for him, not in some things, in everything. Try it, it's fun. Believe in him. He's shown himself to be true. And the Father will be yours today and forever. In that place Jesus has prepared for you. That's right. There is a real place with Jesus, really just for you. Too good to be true? No. It's just really good and really, really true. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, our way, our truth, our life. We come before you today and we get back on the path walking with you. We come before you today and we lay our lives back down at your throne and say, here, Jesus, have it all. And we come before you today and we're honest about those places in our hearts that we're afraid to fully believe what you've said you will do. But we lean on all that we know you've already done. And in seeing your trustworthiness up until now, we believe you for what's still to come. And we ask you in your grace to help us in our unbelief. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.